Welcome to episode 152 of the Fredcast Cycling Podcast for May 6th, 2010. My name is David, and I'm a Fred. On this week's episode of the Fredcast, a Florida bill attempts to make bike lane use mandatory. Fairfield, Iowa creates a bicycle enforcement month. A AAA press release encourages motorists to share the road. More New Yorkers are riding bicycles. Full pro cycling results. Upcoming events, including the Giro d'Italia. Cycling has yet another doping scandal. Following the news, an update to last week's show on Amsterdam, some upcoming events, and of course, PodSafe cycling music. So sit back, relax. If you're riding your bike, hammer just a little bit harder, because here comes the Fredcast. Hey, fellow Freds, welcome back to another episode of the Fredcast. And this episode of the Fredcast is sponsored by Keen Footwear. You know, that's a bit of a misnomer because Keen is so much more than footwear. Now, over the last couple of weeks, I've told you about the Austin pedal shoes that I've got. I told you about the Newport sandal, something that really is the trademark of Keen. But Keen is so much more than footwear. As an example, you know that last week I was in Amsterdam and riding my bike. And when I was getting around, because I was there on business, I needed a good bag to carry my laptop and my business papers and brochures and things like that. And I was getting around Amsterdam with my Keen commuter bag. Now, the Keen commuter bag is a fantastic, sleek messenger bag style bag, but this one really is not just about function. It's got a lot of that, but it's also about style, because once again, I was there on business, and I think that using a messenger bag when you're going in and out of business meetings really isn't the great way to go. But the Keen bag, it makes a really great style statement. Let me tell you a little bit about it. The commuter has room for up to a 15-inch laptop in its padded, suspended laptop sleeve. It's got adjustable sternum straps, a really nice wide shoulder strap with a really big wide pad. Great for me and my shoulder tendonitis. It's also got two water bottle compartments, one on either side. The main compartment is water resistant, and at least for a geek like me, something I really like. There are myriad of pockets and the aluminum snaps and closures, because they're also recycled. So not only are they lightweight, but they're sustainable as well. It's available in four different color combinations. I have the dark shadow and warm olive. Great with a business suit, something that you will really enjoy. It retails for $100, and you can get more information by going to thefredcast.com and clicking on the Keen link. Thanks so much to Keen for sponsoring the Fredcast this week, and thank you so much for your support of Keen. Well, let's get right to the news tonight, and topping the news is what I would call a call to action for those of you who are cyclists in the state of Florida here in the United States. And this concerns Florida Bill HB 971, which has been passed by the House and the Senate in the state of Florida and is now sitting on Governor Charlie Crist's desk waiting for signature or veto. HB 971 is called the Highway Safety and Motor Vehicles Bill, and it certainly sounds innocuous and important enough that it was passed unanimously in the state Senate and the state House chambers. However, among other issues in the bill, the one of most concern to cyclists was brought to everyone's attention by the Commute Orlando blog, and here is the specific language that everyone is objecting to. It's section 316.2065, section 5A. Any person operating a bicycle upon a roadway at less than the normal speed of traffic at the time and place and under the conditions then existing shall ride, and here's the important part, in the lane marked for bicycle use, or if no lane is marked for bicycle use, as close as practicable to the right-hand curb or edge of the roadway, except under the following situations. And I'll summarize these. The first is if you're overtaking or passing another bike or another vehicle. The second is if you're preparing for a left turn. The third is when reasonably necessary to avoid various conditions in the roadway, such as other vehicles, pedestrians, animals, road hazards, debris, etc. Now, all of this language in and of itself Sounds fine and dandy, like wouldn't be a problem. But here's the issue that cyclists in the state of Florida have. Their problem is very similar to a situation that our friend Carlton Reed is constantly talking about in the UK. There, motorists are constantly yelling at cyclists saying, I pay road tax, you don't, this road belongs to me. It's a fallacy. Fact of the matter is, there is no such thing as road tax in the UK, yet motorists will use this common misperception, this common misconception, as anger ammunition, if you will, against cyclists. Very similar situation here in Florida. What the motorists will hear is only the first part, which says cyclists are restricted to bike lanes. So that if you're outside of the bike lane, no matter what the reason, you're going to engender the ire and perhaps the bumper of a motorist. And that in and of itself is the problem. Now, several bloggers and reporters have also pointed out the fact that there's various studies that have gone on to say that bike lanes offer a false sense of security and that bicycles only work best not when they're in designated bike lanes necessarily, but when they're treated as a normal part of traffic. Look, the fact of the matter is, if you've ridden your bicycle on a road anywhere in the world that has a bike lane, you know that there are lots of situations when you need the freedom for safety reasons to get out of that bike lane and proceed as a regular vehicle in the normal lane of traffic. And this in and of itself is the problem that people have with this bill. Now, there are other problems that people have with the bill, such as allowing repeat offenders of drunk driving to find ways to get their licenses back much more easily, even people who have had 4 convictions for drunk driving. Another one is to allow certain motor vehicles the ability to operate on sidewalks. There's a lot of issues with this bill, despite the fact that it passed unanimously in the state legislature in Florida. People are urged to contact Governor Charlie Crist. The phone number of the governor's office is area code 850-488-7146, and the governor's email address is charlie.crist, that's C-R-I-S-T as in Tom, at myflorida.com. Time's running out. If you're in Florida and this matters to you, I urge you to take action now. And yes, the phone numbers, the email address, and a link to the text of the bill are in tonight's show notes. Meanwhile, a bit farther north, up in Fairfield, Iowa, the police department in Fairfield, Iowa has announced, perhaps because they found out that it was National Bike Month, that they're going to be conducting a special quote-unquote bicycle enforcement project during the month of May. Once again, I've got to quote this, to quote, educate bicyclists about the rules of the road and courtesy to cars and pedestrians. Let that sit there for a moment. According to the announcement, there have been several bicycle versus car accidents recently caused by bicyclists not obeying the rules of the road, and there have also been a number of bicyclists riding up and down sidewalks, and they've gotten complaints from numerous merchants that these bicycles have nearly run over customers, they've run stop signs, and they're riding the wrong way on one-way streets. Initially, the police are planning to write citations of warning only. However, they will check to see if a cyclist has been stopped before, and if they are repeat offenders, a real citation will be issued. I love this part. An officer can also issue a citation if the bicyclist swears at him or fails to stop as directed. In the article that I read in a local newspaper, it said, many bicyclists don't realize that they may be issued citations the same as a driver of a car and that it can be costly. Is it me, or does this sound like your Aunt Mabel, who was always just a little bit angry at you because you were a kid? Notice that they're saying that there have been several bicycle versus car accidents lately. It seems to me that in both of these cases, both the Florida case and the Iowa case, maybe people aren't paying attention. As somebody recently pointed out, and perhaps it was on Twitter, or maybe it was on a t-shirt that I saw, cars have bumpers. Cyclists have bones. Well, it looks like the American Automobile Association, the Auto Club here, or AAA, may actually get that because they've issued a statement encouraging their members and indeed all motorists to share the road with bicyclists. And they're doing this specifically in conjunction with National Bike Month here in the United States. According to their press release, May is National Bike Month, and with a growing number of bicyclists on roadways, AAA encourages all motorists to respectfully share the road with cyclists. Most Americans continue to ride bikes for recreation, but many people use their bikes as a means to commute to work, improve their physical health, and to reduce their overall carbon footprint. In recognition of National Bike Month, AAA reminds both motorists and cyclists to be vigilant about sharing the road and to exercise caution year-round. According to Jake Nelson, AAA's Director of Traffic Safety Policy and Research, quote, "It's important for roadway users to remember that cyclists are granted the same rights and are expected to obey the same laws as motorists. AAA appreciates the continued efforts of stakeholders and transportation officials toward making roads safer for motorists and cyclists alike. Among the suggestions that the AAA is recommending to its members and motorists, allowing 3 feet of passing space between a car and a cyclist, being patient when cyclists, because of course we're under our own power and we can only go as fast as our little legs will take us, to pay attention to blind spots because every car and every driver has blind spots, and to make sure that they see and avoid cyclists, to be attentive on side streets and in neighborhoods for especially kids on bikes who may dart out of driveways unexpectedly. And finally, I love this part, to use good common sense. And they say that perhaps one example of that is in inclement weather, giving cyclists extra room. Kudos to AAA and its more than 51 million members for making an intelligent, responsible, and respectful statement about sharing the road with cyclists. One quick correction to last week's show that I'd like to insert here, and this is about Patrick Pogan, the former New York City police officer who was put on trial as a result of that YouTube video where he was shown shoving the cyclist in critical mass near Times Square to the ground. And I complained last week that Pogan was convicted of falsifying a criminal complaint, that complaint against Christopher Long, but that he was acquitted of assault and other charges that, to me, sounded much more violent and, based on the video, seemed much more obvious. It was pointed out to me by several astute listeners who sent me emails that the assault charge itself was actually the lesser crime. The crime of falsifying the criminal complaint carries a possible 4-year prison sentence. Now, Patrick Pogan is scheduled to be sentenced in June. We'll see whether or not he actually gets that full 4-year criminal sentence. However, I do stand behind the fact that it just seemed to me that the assault charge was pretty obvious, and I still don't understand how he wasn't convicted on that charge. But I am pleased that he was convicted of what I now understand, thank you listeners, was the more serious charge. So I stand corrected, and now you've heard the correction. Well, 2 bicycle recalls were announced today. The first from Nerve Sports Limited of Huntington Beach, California. This concerns their cruiser bikes, model names Red Star, Skulls, and Cannibal. Cannibal is more of a chopper style bike. In total, there's 725 units that were sold in the United States between December 2008 and April 2009 for about $300 to $600. The problem here is that the handlebar stem could crack, causing the rider to lose control, posing a risk of serious fall and injury. Nerve has received reports of cracked handlebar stems, which occurred during assembly of the bike. And thankfully, no injuries have been reported. Of course, as always, stop using the bike right away. Contact Nerve Sports toll-free at 888-296-4783 or go to their website or just go to the show notes where I not only have a link to Nerve's recall announcement, but also to the one from the Consumer Product Safety Commission, both of which have specific SKUs and serial numbers of the bikes involved in the recall. The second recall comes from Specialized Bicycles. This concerns 2010 model year 26-inch Epic and 26-inch Era bicycles. There's about 1,350 of these bikes involved. And this sounds awfully familiar. I think that Specialized may have done something voluntary earlier or at the end of last year, but this one is now official with the Consumer Product Safety Commission as of today. The problem here is that the shock mount could break, and then the shock might make contact with the wheel, rear wheel spokes, of course, posing a fall hazard to the rider. So far, no incidents or injuries have been reported, but as always, stop using the bike immediately and contact a Specialized dealer for repair. Now, this recall involves alloy seat stays only on the following 2010 Specialized 26-inch Era or Epic bikes: the Epic Marathon Carbon, the Epic Marathon Frame, Epic Expert Carbon, Epic Expert, Epic Comp Carbon, Epic Comp, Era FSR Expert Carb, Era FSR Expert, and Era FSR Comp. If you have questions or for additional information, contact Specialized toll-free at 877-808-8154. Or again, go to the show notes for a link to the Specialized recall announcement and the recall announcement from the Consumer Product Safety Commission. Moving on to the world of professional cycling, last week I told you I'd bring you the results of the Tour de Romandie. The Tour de Romandie in Switzerland took place from April the 27th through May the 2nd. And on the last day, stage five was won by Alejandro Valverde from Castapania. He won it in 3 hours, 36 minutes, and 19 seconds and picked himself up a nice time bonus and walked away with the final championship in the general classification. Alejandro Valverde winning the Tour de Romandie this year in 17 hours, 35 minutes, and 55 seconds. Second place in the GC went to Simon Spilak from Team Lampre, 11 seconds behind Valverde. In third, Denis Menchov from Team Rabobank, 21 seconds behind Alejandro. In fourth, Michael Rogers from Team HTC Colombia, 35 seconds back. And in fifth, Vladimir Karpets from Team Katusha, 42 seconds behind Alejandro Valverde. Now, I mentioned last week that Alejandro Valverde is facing the threat of a worldwide ban since Kony has now gone to the UCI and asked them to extend the ban in Italy to the entire world. Despite that, and perhaps ironically, as a result of his win in the Tour de Romandie, Alejandro Valverde moves up from second place to first in the overall world rankings, moving Philippe Gilbert to second. Joaquin Rodriguez from Team Katusha stays in third. Cadel Evans stays in fourth. As a matter of fact, the rest of the world rankings stay exactly as they were last week, with Luis Leon Sanchez in fifth, Tom Bonin in sixth, Fabian Cancellara in seventh, Alberto Contador in eighth, Chris Horner in ninth, and Tor Husovt in 10th place overall. Now, a race not affecting the world rankings, but one that a lot of people kept their eyes on, was the Tour of the Gila in New Mexico here in the United States. It took place from April the 28th through May the 2nd, and Levi Leipheimer has won his second straight Tour of the Gila, coming in 10th place in the final 105.7-mile stage that began in Silver City and ended in Pinos Altos. By coming in 10th place and coming in at the same time as Tom Danielson, Levi was able to keep his place among the top of the GC, finishing in 13 hours, 47 minutes, and 5 seconds. Tom Danielson came in just 59 seconds back of Leipheimer in second place. Third place overall went to Dave Zabriskie. Fourth to Phil Zazicek. Fifth to Luis Amaran. For those who may be interested, Lance Armstrong, Levi's teammate, finished in 18th place in the GC, 6 minutes and 53 seconds back of Levi Leipheimer. Well, the first of the three major grand tours begins this Saturday. It's time for the Giro d'Italia, the 93rd edition of the Giro d'Italia, and it is beginning in Amsterdam in the Netherlands with an individual time trial on Saturday, and then a road race from Amsterdam to Utrecht on Sunday, and then Monday, one more road stage in the Netherlands from Amsterdam to Middelburg, and then beginning on Wednesday, after a rest day on Tuesday, we get into Italy with a team time trial, my favorite event of a lot of these grand tours. The Giro d'Italia this year comprises 21 stages. It will go 3,418 kilometers, that's 2,124 miles. It includes the team time trial, three individual time trials, including the final 21st stage in Verona, and five, count them, five mountain stages. Now, one of the questions I get every year is, how do I stay involved? How do I know what's going on in the Giro d'Italia? Well, there's a couple of really easy ways to do that. Of course, you can follow the hashtag Giro, G-I-R-O, or pound Giro on Twitter. I always recommend that you check out steephill.tv. I think that Steve does a great job compiling news, photos, and information from a variety of sources and bringing them to you in one convenient dashboard. For those of you who are interested in watching on television or at least watching live video, Universal Sports here in the United States will be streaming on the internet and will also be providing television coverage as well. In Britain, British Eurosport, with the commentary of David Harmon and Sean Kelly, will be providing live coverage every day, and I'm also told that Eurosport HD will have it as well. In Italy, of course, Rai Italia will also have daily coverage, including live coverage of every event. Just amazing what they've put together, and I'm assuming that this is the company that's going to be providing the coverage for everyone, all of the networks around the world. They're going to have 22 cameras, four cameras on motorbikes, four helicopters, two filming, and two just doing the relay of what they're filming. They're going to have one plane overhead to complete the relay of the transmission, two TV reporters on motorbikes, two radio reporters on motorbikes. Pretty amazing stuff that they're doing to bring these TV pictures to you. In the Netherlands, NOS Sport is going to be streaming live on the internet. In Australia, you can go to the SBS Cycling Central for information on where SBS will be providing you with coverage. I'd also recommend that you go to steephill.tv right now. Steve has a very long and very inclusive list of ways that you can watch the Giro throughout its three-week coverage, and we'll be bringing you our first news of the 2010 Giro d'Italia on next week's episode of the Fredcast. Don't forget, of course, and we'll give you more extended information on this next week, the Amgen Tour of California begins May 16th here in the United States. And what that means, because it's overlapping with the Giro d'Italia, is that some of the best cyclists in the world are at the Giro. But others of the best cyclists in the world will be here in the United States for the Tour of California. There's going to be a lot of professional cycling news and a lot of professional cycling coverage in the weeks to come. As I mentioned just a moment ago, the 2010 Giro d'Italia begins this Saturday, but it's going to do so without three specific riders, including last year's 2009 Tour de France King of the Mountains, Franco Pellizzati from Team Liquigas. According to the UCI, Franco Pellizzati, Spain's Jesus Rosendo Prado, and Slovenia's Tadej Valjevic are all three facing disciplinary action as a result of irregularities found in their biological passports. According to a statement from the UCI, quote, disciplinary procedures have been requested against the riders for apparent violation of the anti-doping rules on the basis of the information provided by the blood profiles in their biological passports. Now, we've talked about biological passports here on the Fredcast for a couple of years. In January of 2008, the UCI began collecting blood samples from professional cyclists in order to create a medical profile that they call the biological passport that they can then use to compare against doping test information that is collected both during competition and out of competition. According to the UCI, the specific doping violations that are being alleged here are following UCI tests that were taken just before the 2009 Tour de France. The length of time between the tests themselves and the announcement of the three riders' disciplinary procedures is raising eyebrows among many in the world of professional cycling, including Pellizotti's own Liquigas team. Team Liquigas is defending its rider, saying, quote, "Right now, the evidence presented does not appear able to show with certainty, at a scientific level, illicit behavior by the athlete." At a press conference in Milan on Tuesday, Pellizotti said, quote, "If I think about all the sacrifices I've made and all the work I've done and all the times I've overlooked my family, and now I can't race, I'm not interested in talking about the rider I am, but about the person I am. I want to come out of this clean because I'm convinced I am." The team doctor for Liquigas and Pellizotti's own lawyer questioned the fact that Pellizotti is under disciplinary action at the moment, saying that only two of the 22 values that are in Pellizotti's biological passport caused concern, and that only three of the nine UCI medical experts had considered these values to be suspect enough to put Pellizotti under this disciplinary action. Nevertheless, Franco Pellizotti will go in front of the Italian Olympic Commission, or CONI, on May 17th to plead his case. He'll be doing that while his colleagues are racing on the streets of Italy. And finally, a new report issued last week indicates that bicycle ridership in the city of New York is up 28%. Last year, they indicated there were 185,000 daily riders, but in 2009, the report by the Transportation Alternatives indicates that there were roughly 236,000 New Yorkers riding each day in 2009. According to Wiley Norvell, a spokesman for the bicycling and pedestrian advocacy group Transportation Alternatives, quote, "More and better designed bike lanes, that's clearly what's fueling this growth." The report also indicates that total miles traveled by bike in the city also rose by about the same percentage to 1.8 million miles from 1.4 million miles. Now, these are just estimates. They're extrapolations based on cyclist counts that occurred around the city at various points by the New York City Department of Transportation. The report, however, does have its critics, including a Professor John Pucher from Rutgers University, who says, quote, "There has definitely been a significant increase in cycling in New York, but it's not clear how big the increase has been because there has not been a good measure of it. The numbers released by the Transportation Department are totally unrepresentative of New York City as a whole." According to those critics, the problem is what I said earlier, the fact that this is an extrapolation and that counts were only taken at specific places in the city, and those critics are arguing that those places that were chosen, including the East River Bridge, the Hudson River Bike Path, and the Manhattan Terminal of the Staten Island Ferry, are popular places where cyclists pass every single day, and that as a result of choosing popular places to count cyclists, that perhaps the numbers may be exaggerated by up to 100%. Others point out, however, that considering the fact that these numbers are arrived at each year in the same manner, that even if the numbers are exaggerated, the percent increase is probably fairly accurate. So congratulations, New Yorkers and cyclists in New York, for gaining this distinction. We hope to see the trend continue. Well, that's going to do it for the news on this week's episode of the Fredcast. But before we get to the features, I want to mention that this week's features are sponsored by Jensen USA. Jensen USA is our partner and our favorite place to go online to buy bicycles, bicycle components, and clothing. Here's a great example. Mountain bike season is just around the corner here in Park City as soon as a little bit more of this snow melts off. And I've talked to a lot of people who are talking about upgrading their mountain bike this year with new components. Jensen USA has an amazing deal right now on a complete Shimano SLX complete build kit, including a RockShox front fork. Imagine getting a complete component group and a fork regularly priced at about $2,300 for just under $500, almost 50% off. This is a really incredible deal and just points out just one example of the kind of values that you're going to get by shopping at Jensen USA. And I keep telling you this, and you'll only experience it by giving it a try. Jensen USA is known for much more than their pricing and perhaps best known for the quality of their customer service. Give them a try, won't you? I guarantee you that if you go to Jensen USA, you're not going to want to go anywhere else online to buy bikes, bike components, and clothing. Go to www.thefredcast.com and click on the link, or to go to jensenusa.com/thefredcast. We thank Jensen USA so much for their support of the show, and we thank you for your support of Jensen USA. Well, I have to admit that last week's show, where I talked about cycling in Amsterdam and where I interviewed Mark from AmsterdamEyes.com, was among one of the most popular in recent memory. I've gotten a lot of tweets and a lot of emails from listeners who said that they really enjoyed the interview and enjoyed my conversation about riding in Amsterdam. I got a lot of questions from you, and I wanted to answer some of those before we let these go too stale. First of all, I got a lot of questions about traveling with the Dahan SpeedPro TT folding bike and using the Airporter case. The first question that I got was from listener Bill, who wanted to know whether or not I got charged by the airline for traveling with the case. Because you'll recall 2 weeks ago when I talked about the Airporter case, I mentioned that it is just slightly larger than the standard luggage size that the airlines allow. Now, I have to admit, I am a premium traveler on Delta Airlines. I'm a Platinum Medallion. I flew about 100,000 miles last year on Delta. Ouch. And as a result, I have status in the airline. But I have to admit that while I didn't expect to be charged any kind of oversized charges here in the U.S., the agent in Amsterdam on my way home was quite the stickler for regulations. Matter of fact, I tried to check three bags, the Airporter, my suitcase, and then a small bag that had all sorts of literature from the trade show that I had attended. She wouldn't let me check that third bag, but she never gave a second glance to the Airporter case. So I think that I am not expecting that when I travel with this bike virtually anywhere that I'm going to have a problem checking the bag. And I'll let you all know whether or not I do on future shows. The second question came from listener Terry, and Terry wanted to know about bike safety and security in Amsterdam, because in Amsterdam, there are bicycles everywhere, and the question was, because there are so many bikes, is it easier for thieves to get away with stealing them, and what kind of security concerns did I have to take into consideration? Now, what wasn't recorded was an earlier conversation that I had with Mark from AmsterdamEyes.com. He and I were having coffee and a little Dutch apple pie before we cycled over to Vondelpark to have our interview. And I asked him specifically about security. And he paused and he thought about it a little. And he said if he were to count it up, he would expect that from the time he was young until today, he would guess that he probably had about 80 bicycles stolen. 80. So bicycle security in Amsterdam is a huge deal. And what I noticed around town was that despite the fact that many of these bikes look old, some of them look rusted, even the oldest, rustiest bikes have some of the largest bike locks and bike chains you have ever seen. So yes, in Amsterdam, bike safety and security is a real problem. Another question that I was asked was that when people looked at the video that I shot and some of the photos that I shot when I was in Amsterdam, folks wanted to know whether or not bicycles are actually an eyesore in Amsterdam. And several Amsterdammers with whom I spoke told me that yes, indeed, it is a bit of an eyesore that every bridge, every pipe, every tree, every wall and fence has multiple bikes attached to it. But, you know, I wonder if it becomes an eyesore or if it just becomes no different than walking down a street in Manhattan or Los Angeles or Chicago and seeing cars parked along the side of the road. I have a feeling that after a time it simply becomes, well, something that you don't see anymore. We notice it because we're not used to seeing it as often, but I have a feeling that Amsterdammers probably have simply gotten used to the fact that they're there. And then this leads into the last question, which was, what kinds of bikes did I see? I have to admit, I did not see a great number of high-end road bikes, racing bikes. I didn't see a lot of mountain bikes or even hybrid bikes. Most of what I saw were the traditional Dutch bicycle, swept-back handlebars, upright seating position, fenders, chain guards, coaster brakes, single speeds, panniers, racks, lots of cargo bikes. You know, we talk about that on The Spokesman all the time, whether utility bicycles are a trend here in the United States. They're not a trend in Holland. They're just everywhere. And then a bike that is extremely common, the bakfiets, which is really what we would call a cargo bike, a Dutch bicycle with a very large, almost shopping cart-sized basket on the front. There are also pink and yellow and red rental bikes that you can find all over the city being ridden by locals and tourists alike. I have to admit that I did see a number of folding bikes, but it seemed like my bright yellow Dahan with its unique handlebars definitely caught a lot of attention, and I got a lot of comments on the bike itself. Oh, one more thing. You know, here in the United States, when we get a brand new bicycle, it always comes with pedal reflectors, a front white reflector, a rear red reflector, and reflectors for the spokes. In Holland, it is required that if you're going to ride your bicycle after dark, that you have a working front light, not a reflector, and a working red tail light, not a reflector. So keep that in mind if you're going to bring your own bike to Holland and you plan to ride after dark. So I hope that that clears up a little bit about what it's like to ride in Amsterdam. Of course, if you have any other questions, feel free to let me know and I'll be happy to address it here on the show. It seems like this is a very popular subject considering how those of us outside of Holland, outside of Denmark, look at places like Amsterdam and Copenhagen as models for the future of cycling in our own neighborhoods. Well, I have a couple of upcoming cycling events to tell you about, starting with the one that's ongoing right now here in the United States. Once again, it is National Bike Month here in May, and don't forget that Bike to Work Week and Bike to Work Day are coming up. Also, I wanted to let you know about an event coming up May 16th in Edinburgh, Scotland. This is the Pedal It Pink event. Pedal It Pink takes place in Holyrood Park in Edinburgh on Sunday, May the 16th, and it is a challenge to the ladies of Scotland to ride a marathon or a half marathon or take part in the family 5K lap. This is to raise funds for innovative breast cancer research in Scotland. Another upcoming event in the UK, this one in London on September the 26th. This is the Prince's Trust Palace to Palace ride, where 3,000 cyclists will go on a 45-mile route covering some stunning sights between Buckingham Palace and Windsor Castle, all to aid the Prince's Trust. And for those of you who aren't familiar with the Prince's Trust, maybe you're familiar with some of the concerts, but you don't really know what the Prince's Trust is. The Prince's Trust helps give practical and financial support to 14 to 30-year-olds who have struggled at school, have been in care, or are long-term unemployed, or perhaps who have been in trouble with the law, helping them to develop key workplace skills, confidence, and motivation. They've helped more than 600,000 young people in the UK since 1976, and they support 100 more each working day. And finally, for events taking place around the nation in 2010, there is a new charity cycling series called the ZenPep CF Cycle for Life series. This series to benefit the Cystic Fibrosis Foundation, and they are going to have events in 18 cities across the country to support research to find new therapies and a cure for cystic fibrosis. You'll be able to find events in Atlanta, Baton Rouge, Boston, Charleston, Denver, Dayton, Grand Rapids, Hartford, Jacksonville, Portland, Oregon, Malvern, Pennsylvania, Peoria, Illinois, Phoenix, San Diego, San Francisco, Seattle, Tampa, and Tyler, Texas. For all three of these events, just go to the show notes at www.thefredcast.com and you'll be able to find links and further information. Well, that's going to do it for this week's show. Before we get into the PodSafe cycling music for this week, I want to thank our sponsors, starting with the main sponsor for this week's show, Keen Footwear and Keen Bagwear. I told you about the Keen commuter bag, the one that I'm using every single day and the one that I used in Amsterdam. A great bag, very comfortable, very functional. Check it out by going to www.thefredcast.com and clicking on the Keen Footwear link right there on the page. I also want to thank Jensen USA for their support of the Fredcast. Go to www.jensenusa.com/thefredcast to find out more deals from Jensen and to take advantage of their amazing customer service. And finally, I want to thank listeners like you for supporting the Fredcast through your PayPal donations. Just click the donation link at thefredcast.com or in the show notes for tonight's show. One of the things I think that you're going to notice when you go to thefredcast.com and you click on show number 152, it's that I've changed the way that I'm posting information about the show. I'm putting the show notes right into the blog link. Hopefully you'll find that much easier. And of course, you can find that at www.thefredcast.com. Plus, if you want to stay in touch with the Fredcast, just follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/Fredcast, or on Facebook, facebook.com/Fredcast. If you'd like to send us an email, the email address is thefredcast@gmail.com or use our listener hotline at area code 661-513-FRED. That's 661-513-3733. Well, there's only one thing left to do tonight, and that's bring you this week's PodSafe Cycling Music. And this week's PodSafe Cycling Music was chosen specifically for the Fredcast by the Cadence Revolution, your weekly podcast of PodSafe music that's perfect for your indoor cycling, available at www.cadencerevolution.com. Tonight's PodSafe Cycling Music is by Alex Barroza, and it's called Feeling Good. And that's how I feel about you listeners. Thank you so much for listening. Thanks for staying subscribed. Thanks for telling your friends about the Fredcast. And thanks for posting your positive reviews on iTunes. I couldn't, wouldn't do this without each and every one of you, and you make me feel good every single day. So between this show and the next, I hope that you enjoy the music, but most of all, enjoy the ride.
Yeah, I'm feeling good right now. It's just one of them days where everything going right. Everybody come together, let's go, yo. Hey, I'm feeling alright. Just one of them days, everything going right now. Like to keep this vibe throughout the day, if that's okay, yeah. Hey, everything's okay. Now I want this feeling that I'm having today to stay with me for the rest of the night, if that's alright, yeah. Just one of them days, everything go right now. Like to keep this vibe throughout the day, if that's okay, yeah. Hey. Everything's okay, I want this feeling that I'm having today to stay with me for the rest of the night, yeah. If that's alright, okay. Yeah.
Yo, check hey. The bad vibes out the door. Got a full case of energy.
G and looking for more. Identities like a centipede, I keep on the go. You're feeling me like a remedy, I'm bringing you hope. Yo, I'm feeling so outrageously good. So fresh, bring the vibe the only way that I could. Cause it's a new day, new walk for me. And possibly this a whole new start for me. So yo, hey, let me walk it on out. Let me give you a little taste of what I'm talking about. Take a little bit of faith and just pass it around. And then soon you'll be contagious and the talk of the town. So yo, hey, I'm feeling good like I'm in Hollywood. Hey, I feel on top of the world now. Hey, I'm feeling good like I'm in Hollywood. Everybody come together, gather around, come on. Hey, I'm feeling alright. Just one of them days, everything go right now. Like to keep this vibe throughout the day, if that's okay. Yeah, hey, everything's okay. Now I want this feeling that I'm having today to stay with me for the rest of the night, if that's alright. Yeah, hey, I'm feeling alright. Just one of them days, everything go right now. Like to keep this vibe throughout the day, if that's okay. Feeling that I'm having today to stay with me for the rest of the night, if that's alright. Yeah. Yo, alright, alright, let's take flight. And when the vibe overpower you, just don't fight. Oh, you wanna know what I would do? I just like to lay some funky beer. Stay on the bus and blows on the mic, alright? Cool. See, I'm a little strange in that fashion. Hip hop is like adrenaline and I'm gonna lapse. You might think that it's funny and you might be laughing. I don't do it for the money, I'm doing it for the passion of music. Use it to express just who is the S-O-L. Best way I can do it, see the truth is I'm like everyday folk. I'm feeling down in the dump or getting buried in soap. But yo, yo, today's a different day and I'm feeling it. I got a fan base and I'm constantly building it. I'm still with it, still think out the box. I'm still down with real good, feel good hip hop. Yo,
come on.
Hey, I'm feeling alright. Just one of them days, everything go right now. Like to keep this vibe throughout the day, if that's okay. Yeah,
hey,
everything's okay. I want this feeling that I'm having today to stay with me for the rest of the night, if that's alright. Yeah,
hey,
I'm feeling alright. Just one of them days, everything alright now. Like to keep this vibe throughout the day, if that's okay. Yeah,
hey,
everything's okay. Now I want this feeling that I'm having today to stay with me for the rest of the night, if that's alright. Yeah.